Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Deeply held beliefs are sometimes subject to change. That's the focus of a new book about one of the most high-profile crimes in New England. Even now, 12 years later, many people remember the horrific details of the kidnapping and murder of 10-year-old Jeffrey Curley. And they remember his father, Bob Curley, who led the fight to bring back the death penalty in Massachusetts after his son's murder. Here's how the arrests of Charles Janes and Sal Sicari were reported on WCVB television.
If you believe 21-year-old Salvatore Sicari, a neighbor of the dead boy, his homosexual lover, 22-year-old Charles Janes, killed Jeffrey Curley only hours after the little boy was reported missing.
As the details about the murder, including one suspect's association with the North American Man-Boy Love Association, emerged, public outrage intensified, and a devastated Bob Curley led the campaign to reinstate the death penalty.
Prominently displayed at the memorial to his son, a copy of a letter that Robert Curley has sent to Acting Governor Cellucci, urging a death penalty.
The battle with the death penalty is going to be waged in the state house, and zero tolerance. Make a stand now with these predators that are out there. Do it now before they come and they abuse more of our children.
Despite Curley's tireless efforts, Massachusetts lawmakers rejected the death penalty, but by just one vote. Sal Sicari and Charles Janes were both convicted of Jeffrey's murder. Sicari sentenced to life without parole, Janes to life with the possibility of parole after 23 years. And 2 years after their convictions, Bob Curley went public once again, this time to denounce the death penalty. His journey to the opposite viewpoint is outlined in the book The Ride. In it, Boston Globe reporter Brian McQuarrie documents the intense personal struggles of Bob Curley, a firehouse mechanic from Cambridge, who goes from grieving father and death penalty advocate to still grieving father but death penalty opponent. Bob Curley and Brian McQuarrie visited our studios to talk about the book, and we asked Bob Curley what caused him to change his mind about the death penalty.
When it all started with Jeffrey, I don't think people go through life thinking about the death penalty. I know I didn't give the death penalty much thought until all of a sudden have something like this happen to one of your loved ones. At that time, I don't know how anybody could not be in favor of the death penalty. But as time moves along, you know, you can take a step back and you can take a look at the death penalty for what it is. And that's basically what happened with me.
When did the tide start to turn for you? When did you start to say, this may not be something I want to go along with anymore?
When you see the legal process up close, it doesn't take long to figure out that what's right and what's wrong, justice and the law and what's right, who can afford a good lawyer, who can't afford a good lawyer, there's a big difference. Even in this case here, I mean, James was the worst one of the two as far as I'm concerned. He had a good lawyer. He got second-degree murder with the possibility of parole. Public defender and Sicari got life without the possibility of parole.
Right.
So, you know, that just highlights that the justice system isn't always works perfect for everybody.
Was it difficult to start to tell people that you had changed your position?
Yeah. I just one day felt like talking about it. It was close to Jeffrey's birthday, too. And I wanted to talk about it publicly, that I had changed my position on the death penalty. And I went on TV, and it's strange the way things work, but that weekend was a conference at Boston College where anti-death penalty people from all over the country were there at this conference. And I wound up speaking at that conference that Saturday morning, and it just so happened to be Jeffrey's birthday that it happened.
Was it difficult to tell your family that you had changed your position?
Oh, yes. Because that afternoon, have a ritual where we go to Jeffrey's grave on his birthday. And that day we did, and had some words with my older sons and Jeff's mom. But that's all right. They still have a different view than I do, but that's fine. I respect their view, and they respect mine.
Brian, I'm wondering, why did you decide to write that whole story, the whole arc of Bob's story?
When we began the book, we thought it was going to be a fairly straightforward, true crime tale about Jeffrey's death and about the death penalty debate. And the more that I got to sit down with Bob and just heard about the toll that this took on them, it just became to me such a wrenching and important story about how someone can not only find the courage to change his views, but then find the strength within to endure what that means. I mean, it's ultimately a story, I think, a triumph of the human spirit.
And Bob, would you say it's triumph is the message?
I always wanted the book to be about transformation, about healing, and about hope. You can get better. Not everybody does get better, but you can get better if you want to get better. The hardest thing is to just try to not let the anger surface up so much. You got to let it go. You can't let it eat you up.
How do you feel about them now? Do you forgive them?
No, I don't forgive them. It's not something you get over with. It's something you carry with you for the rest of your life. I've said many times before, the best advice that I got was, you know, it's bad enough that James and Zachary had killed Jeffrey, and don't let them kill you. And it took a long time for that to click in with me. You know, the best way to honor Jeffrey is to live my life the right way, try to make as much positive come from what happened as I can.
That's Bob Curley with Boston Globe reporter Brian McQuarrie talking about their partnership for the new book titled The Ride. It's about Bob Curley's struggle with the idea of capital punishment after the brutal murder of his 10-year-old son, Jeffrey Curley, in 1997.